him the story of what had happened, but he couldn't quite make it out. There were wagon tracks, deep furrows made from iron-rimmed wheels, crossing and crossing again. They seemed to have come in from the northwest. The footprints had already become smudged and blurred by the ceaseless desert wind, but enough remained for him to see that there had been a large number of strangers, adults and children.
No spent rounds. No chills.
It didn't make any sense. A lot of strangers had come along a day or so back, riding in ox wags, and now the farm was destroyed, and everyone had vanished. He looked back at his son.
Cast around in a big circle, Dean. Then come on in. Look for tracks leaving the place.
The boy waved a hand and set off. Ryan realized that Dean must be feeling just as gut-weary as he did himself, but he kept on going. Near the house, the signs were more confused and more helpful. Ryan bent down, finding crusted patches of sand that had once been pools of fresh-spilled blood. He spotted a broken knife blade and three spent cartridges from a 9mm blaster. From their placement, Ryan guessed that they'd been kicked out of an automatic weapon, like JB's Uzi. The shattered remnants of some of the low walls of the outbuildings gave him another clue. They were pocked and chipped with fresh bullet holes, the spent lead gleaming like fool's gold against the smoke-dusted adobe. He stood still, his eye caught by the diminutive figure of Dean plodding around a perimeter a quarter mile away. The ground to the north was far more rocky and wasn't likely to show any tracks. One thing was certain. There wasn't a soul left alive anywhere near the Lawrence Spread. Inside the ruined house, there was nothing but ashes. Ryan caught the unmistakable scent of gasoline, which explained why the destruction had been so total. The place had been fired, and all of its contents destroyed. Ryan's toe caught on something almost buried in the soft ashes, and he kicked at it, finding the springs of one of the beds, fused by the intense heat. There was some glass, melted into a shapeless puddle of dark green. There was no sign of any food left behind. With that realization came the awareness that he was very thirsty. Jack had kept some self-seals of water and beer in a cold box at the back of the kitchen. Ryan walked carefully through to where the rear wall had been. He discovered the remains of the store of cans and jars that Christina had built up, all completely ruined by the fire. The pall of gray that hung over the farm made him think about the smokehouse up by the barn. There had been several hams and some joints of meat, along with dozens of dried strips of fish dangling from the beams. Dean had completed his circuit and was now making his way slowly toward his father, constantly turning his head from side to side.
Anything?
Wags coming in and not going out.
If the wags haven't left, then something must have happened to them. They're not here.
No. I seen them in that shallow draw back south, all burned out like the house. Just the wheel rims left in the ashes.
It was making less and less sense. Who burned the wags? Why? And where had everyone gone when there didn't seem to be any bodies? There was still food strung up on some of the scorched beams. Ryan stood looking at it, wondering at yet another piece in this increasingly bizarre puzzle. Because the meat and the fish had all been smoked, it should have stayed edible for months, even in the heat of the New Mexico summer. In fact, it was rancid, crawling with tiny yellow threadworms. They'd bored through the firm, dry hams, so that they now crumbled apart in greasy fragments of rotting flesh.
So much for eating. Didn't feel that hungry anyways, but...
The well. At least we can get ourselves some good cold water.
Saying it made the feeling of thirst much worse. Ryan suddenly started thinking about bathing in the crystal streams that flowed from the high Sierras and bubbled over sun-warmed boulders. It heightened his awareness of just how dry and cracked his lips were, his tongue swollen like old leather. The well was at the side of the main house, close to the tumbled barn. Ryan led the way, Dean at his heels. To Ryan's relief, it didn't seem to have been damaged at all. From the amount of rope showing on the windlass, the bucket was near the bottom. He took hold of the smooth iron handle and began to wind it up. They could both hear drops of water falling from the bucket into the cool depths of the well. Just before Ryan finished turning the handle, with the top of the bucket in sight, he noticed something tied to the rope above the level of the water. It was a crumpled, handwritten note from Christy Roth. The paper was handmade, with a crinkled decal edge. Written with a dark blue ink, the lettering was hasty and smudged.
Ryan, lover, if you read this, then you're alive and made it back. With Dean, I hope. Had some times of seeing, but it was so dark, cold, and wet, I feared for you.
Dean read over his father's shoulder, puzzling at some of the less legible parts.
She's a real Doomie, isn't she?
No. Doomies are double rare. They see the future. Christy can't generally do that. She just has these feelings that give clues. But she's right about cold, wet, and dark.
First things first. In Gaia's name, lover, don't drink the water. Not a drop. Even if your life depends on it. You'll have seen the meat in the smokehouse. Never mind what the water looks like. It's deadly poisoned. Wish had time to tell all, but we have to leave this place of blood. Job to do first. If time, we'll leave further note.
Where have they gone?
Ryan examined the other side of the note.
Remember, don't drink or eat anything until you're away beyond the gorge to the north. We've gone there. Follow us soonest, lover. Christy.
North?
What she says.
Dean reached and swung the bucket in toward himself, balancing it on the rough stone rim of the old well. He stared at its limpid contents, shaking his head. His blue eyes turned questioningly toward his father.
Looks okay, Dad.
Christy couldn't have put it more strongly. You know her, and you know she wouldn't.
But we could maybe try it and...
For fuck's sake, Dean, cut it out!
Ryan couldn't hide his anger or his exhaustion. To relieve the tension, he pushed at the bucket, sending it falling to the well.
I only thought we...
No, son, you didn't think. That's the whole point.
Sorry.
Don't apologize, Dean. Learn from it. Now, Christy says they went to the gorge north. That's about 6 miles. 5, maybe.
It's so hot.
Ryan looked around. There was a small patch of shade behind the last remaining chunk of the barn wall. Overhead, the sun was blazingly high, turning the gray sand scorching hot.
Rest up until dusk, then we go for the gorge. Could catch up with the others by this time tomorrow.
Truth?
Sure.
The sun was still well up over the western hills, but its cruel heat had diminished. Beyond a bank of high cloud, they could see the vivid beginnings of a spectacular chem storm. Great streaks of pink and purple lightning stripped layers off the sky, exploding into starbursts of nameless colors from beyond deep space.
Did she say there'd be another note?
If she could.
What do you figure happened, Dad?
Something bad enough for the bodies to be removed. But it looks like Christy and the others had a few minutes to prepare departure.
Who was it came in on the wags?
Here go the questions again, Dean. Too many. Give it a few hours. We might start finding some of the answers.
The terrain was rough, and twice they stopped when they heard the lonesome howling of a pack of coyotes. The animals still retained some of their old, skulking, cowardly habits from before Skydark, but Ryan had known them to run in hunting packs like timber wolves. They were huge, muty creatures with jaws that could go clean through a man's thigh bone.
Clouds coming.
Ryan looked around in the fading light.
Well, there's no cover. We'll just have to take it.
It was a short and brutally savage downpour. Sheets of water fell from the lowering sky, stinging Ryan and Dean through their coats. It bounced off the rocks, soaking into the dusty earth. Within minutes, the land had absorbed all it could, and the rain began to run off, first in thin trickles, then gathering momentum and becoming full-blown streams. Ryan had taken care not to get them caught in a steep-sided canyon, where a flash flood could have devastating and deadly consequences. They were sopping wet in seconds, but that was the worst that was going to happen. The storm lasted less than 20 minutes, but it left behind sodden, foaming torrents coursing down every incline, washing away any signs of tracks that Christy and the others might have left. The one bonus was that the downpour had given father and son a chance to quench a little of their thirst. Standing bareheaded, faces up, eyes closed, mouths open, they managed to swallow the liberal bounty, sometimes coughing as it splashed into their nostrils. Dean stood there, water still trickling from his pants and his lank hair, grinning at Ryan, his teeth white in the gloom.
Oh, I feel better.
Yeah, me too.
They reached the river that surged through the gorge a couple of hours before midnight. With the passing of the rain, the wind had fallen, leaving the night humid and oppressive. The sky, heavy and overcast.
What's that smell?
Ryan had also noticed it, seeping from somewhere among the maze of jagged boulders in the ravine.
What do you think?
I think it smells like death.
The one-eyed man couldn't agree more. With darkness setting in, and the gorge being a hiding place for all manner of animal and reptile life,